Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. We're going to get back to college football a little bit later on in the radio program. But as the text line is open, the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line at 844-326-3663, we get this text. The text is, are the Panthers truly back? Or was that performance just a prank?
Back to where?
Were they at the end of last year when they were playing good football?
And still was losing at the end of last year.
Sure.
So back to where? Do you mean back to when they went to a couple of Super Bowls? Are they back to that?
It's fair when you put it that way. It's fair when you put it that way. Are the Panthers like a Super Bowl team? No.
I am only fair. I've never been unfair in my entire life.
You do your best, then I respect that. Here's where I think, dear texter, the Panthers are right now. I think this weekend, the mentality of this team was, let's dial it back. Let's get back to where we were. Let's get back to where we need to be. Let's get back to where we were at the end of last year. And where were we at the end of last year? We were, let's run the ball. Let's be efficient. Let's protect Bryce Young in a way where he can make the surgical passes and not rely on the, oh, bleep it, somebody's open passes. And I think that's what you saw. If you look at a stat line.
I saw some of the other two because now he knows how high Tyrone McMillan can jump.
Dude, that kid's a machine. We'll get to that. Although, again, McMillan, 3 catches, 48 yards, not a bad day. 3 catches on 8 targets with a couple of drops that could have changed these numbers for BY even more dramatically. This is why, this is one of those reasons that I have for a very, very long time said, stats are like a bikini, you know? Like they show you a lot, but they cover up the most important parts. It's a great phrase. I've been saying it for years. I love it. I think it's frankly sheer genius. So
you probably have been saying it for years. Someone has been known to steal things from other people. I'm just saying.
I try not to. I'm not saying I'm always effective at it. I try not to utilize other guys' like things.
Next thing you know, you'll be using wrestling phrases. Okay. And then pretending like they're not wrestling phrases.
Okay, let's not even pretend that because then you're really going to get us both up a creek. All right? That's our thing. That's our thing. Is, was, and always will be. Then, now, forever, you could say. So
you forgot together.
Well, that's not always true, is it? So BY was 16 of 24. That number, I think, honestly, for 121, no touchdowns, no picks. I think that number probably should have been closer to like 20 of 24 for 150, 160, somewhere in that range. But it is what it is. I think what you saw was an offense that aimed more for efficiency than explosiveness. I think that win was an offense that was looking more for, let's take care of the football, let's own the play clock, let's make sure that they play our game and we are not obligated to play theirs, right? I go back to that Arizona game last week. Because of the fact that you were so far in the hole, you ended up having to try to play Arizona's game with Arizona. You're never going to play, never, I don't care who you are, you will never play their game better than they do. You must make them play your game and be better at that than they are. And that's what you did to Atlanta yesterday. You forced Atlanta into throwing the ball 43 times yesterday. No team with Bijan Robinson on it, with Tyler Allgeier on it, should be throwing the ball 45 times when they have those guys. That team should be split 30 runs, 30 passes at the best. What was Carolina yesterday? 24 passes, 30 runs. Balance. That is what we were screaming about during the offseason. Show me balance. Run the ball to set the pass, not fail to run the ball and mandate the pass. That's what they did the first couple of weeks. They kind of got it right, figured it out, put it together. So I'm happy with everything that we saw, with one exception. And that one exception was the drops. There were too many again. Now, you didn't have Xavier Legette out there. Carolina said it's because of a hamstring issue, a lingering injury he's trying to get over. I told you after they shut him down at practice last week, I think this is a tryout for XL's job. I will be honest with you. Unless XL is on the field in the next game, I suspect, pending injury to other wide receivers down the line, I suspect we may have seen the last of Xavier Legette for a while. Not permanently. I think they're going to try the BY route. We're going to sit you. We're going to let you have some time where there's no pressure. Just work. Just develop. Just get better. Get your head right. Right? Like Canales made it sound like, and this may be true. This is why I'm not going to pound the hammer on the guy. Although at the end of the day, you have your job, just like all of us. Like we got a bad couple of days. Some bad stuff happens in our life. Like I encourage you, take a mental health break, take a day off, give yourself time to rest and reset. But at the end of the day, you still have to do your job. And he wasn't. So I hope that they're giving him the opportunity to get his head right, get his health right, get his body right. And maybe when he returns, we see the XL we've waited to see. But so far we haven't. I think it was a, let's see what Bryson Tremaine does. Let's see if we work Jatavion Sanders into the offense a little bit more. Let's see what Hunter Renfrow does in the Adam Thielen slot, which he was fine. He had a couple of drops as well. One a bad one, one kind of a tough catch if he makes it, but had two catches for 6 yards, like whatever. It was fine. The Panthers were just efficient with the football, with the run game. It was just run the ball downhill. Chuba Hubbard's a downhill runner. He's a run it between the tackles guy. Stop trying to get him to the edge. Trust an offensive line that even with two starters down, even with Mays and Zavala starting, you still got a good offensive line. That's a good defensive line for Atlanta. Let's see if we can win the point of attack. And they did that, and they did win the point of attack. You got Chuba running downhill. You got a game on your hands.
Because of who they are and who they've been, though, watching at least the first half of that game, kept waiting for them to go away from what was working, kept waiting for them to do something dumb to cost them the game, and they never did.
I agree.
Which was, I mean, there was consistency throughout that game. Can they do it again for another game in the next game? We'll see.
One of the things that I find myself ranting like an unhinged lunatic about when I am watching football games by myself is how many coaches get ahead in a football game, give their team an advantage in a football game, and then get away from the thing that got them there, right? Like it's maddening how many times I have seen teams that run downhill, run downhill, run downhill, all of a sudden they're up 17, and then they're like, hey, what if we go to shotgun pass? Why? You've built this lead. Like, even if they start to adapt their defense to that, keep doing it until they adapt their defense and stop it. But if they haven't adapted their defense and stopped it yet, why the hell would you change it now? That doesn't make any sense. And I agree with Lonzo. Like, I kept waiting yesterday for the moment that we saw Carolina, who was running the ball downhill, was running the ball very well, was doing what they needed to do. I kept waiting for them to try to pop one. I kept waiting for one where it's like, all right, let's just throw it down to McMillan and see what happens here. And it didn't happen. I was very happy about it. They just kept doing what they were doing. Let's be efficient. Let's be efficient with the football in the run game. Let's not ask BY for those big down the field shots, right? When we pass it, let's run some flood concepts. Let's overwhelm. Like, Atlanta's got a good defensive backfield specifically across the safety spot. So why would we run our guys to the strength there? Why would we run our guys to where they're at their best? Let's run it underneath. Let's take advantage of Hunter Renfro. Let's take advantage of Bryson Tremaine. Let's take advantage of Jatavion Sanders. Let's get guys involved. Let's take advantage of Mitchell Evans. We've got a rotation of guys at tight end that we can pop fresh legs in there at the TE spot every down. Let's take advantage of that. A lot of rotation across the offense. A lot of guy go out there, run a play, go 1,000%, get back to the sideline. We got two more guys. They'll run one, then they'll run one, then you're back in there. I loved it. This is the Carolina football team that I predicted to win the division before the season started. And again, like, I know he's got a year of experience. And I know that a lot of us, me included in this, looked at Dave Canales, the play caller for this team, and thought, all right, he's got a year of experience. Now he's Andy Reid. No, he's not. He had 1 year of experience with a team that, even if we are giving them credit, last year was lacking in certain spots. I said the entire time he was there, Adam Thielen's not running the X because he's really good at it. I mean, he was, but Adam Thielen's running the X because you don't have an X. He's the best option you got. You're going to be better when you can move him to the slot. Now you got an X. And you move Hunter Renfro to the slot. And again, Renfro stats. 2 snags, 6 yards, 4 targets. It's not a huge number. But go watch him. Because the Adam Thielen, Hunter Renfro slot as a slot wide receiver, a possession, zone aware slot wide receiver, the job is not just catch the football. The job is to be a manipulator of the defense. The job is to make it where defenses understand if we have any gap in our zone coverage anywhere, if we line him up against the 5th defensive back in a nickel in man, he's going to cook us. And it's not going to be popping bigs for 24, 25, 26 yards. It's going to be a bunch of 3 and 4 and 5 yard catches that move the sticks or create 2nd and 3. And now they have ability and opportunity to do what they want to do. Go watch Hunter Renfro in this game. And what you will notice is, yeah, he only had 2 catches and 4 targets. Yeah, he had a drop down the line. But if you watch it, wherever Hunter Renfro is when he's on the field, and again, didn't even have a ton of snaps, but he didn't need them. Whenever he was on the field, the defense had to adjust and move that way. What does that let you do if you're Dave Canales? It lets you manipulate the field to open up opportunities away from him. Because again, yeah, McMillan's over there. And yeah, you better have a dude on him. But if you play balanced and there is any sort of zone hole out there, Hunter Renfro is going to find it, and he's going to sit down in it, and he's going to pick up 1, 2, 3 Yak Daddy yards, and he's going to either create a and short opportunity, or he's going to move the sticks on one. And now you're right back to it on 1st and 10. I was, let me put it this way. If you asked me what the deficiency was yesterday for the Carolina Panthers, Lonzo, I don't really have one. Defensively, like, I know we've been on his case, and I think it's been justified to be on his case. But as James popped in the chat a minute ago, Israel Evero deserves flowers for what that defense did yesterday. They understood what they were up against in Michael Penix Jr. They played excellent contain. We're not going to let this guy beat us with his legs. If he's going to beat us, it's going to beat us. He's going to beat us with the arm. They said, Michael Penix Jr., if you go for 275 and 3 tutties, so be it. It's all on you. And they never let anybody get going.
So is there a quarterback controversy in Atlanta now? Or would there have been if Kirk came out and killed it?
I mean, 5 of 7, 29 yards late in the game. The game was over at that point. Yeah, but the game's over. Like, Carolina at that point's pretty much just like, I mean, I think, honestly, I think they were playing for the shutout, right? Like, I think there was some pride, but I don't think they were pedal to the metal, full accelerator, all throttle, no gas, or all gas, no brakes, yeet. I think they were like, hey, we're going to try to keep them to the shutout, but we're not going to overplay our hand and make a mistake here, right? Like, if they score, they're going to score because of the old, a good offense always beats a good defense, not because we played bad defense on a play and they took advantage of it. I don't think there's a quarterback controversy in Atlanta, and we can come to that later. I think it's a worthy conversation to have, because I think Michael Penix was up against a defense that was just, I think they were just tired of getting their asses beat. Is all it comes down to. I think it was Derek Brown in the postgame press conference was like, yo, for a defense that was at the bottom of the league last year, you guys look like an elite unit today. Will you chalk that up to? And, in fact, let me see. I think I saved the quote here. I think I saved the quote somewhere. Nah, I lost it. But he basically said, we were exasperated. Like, we were tired of it. We were tired of it. And it's like, all right, now, here's the next question. And this is a question that you ask anytime a football team goes above and beyond, right? Anytime a football team goes above and beyond and they have a win like this, the next question is consistently. It's consistently, consistency. Can you do it again? The Carolina Panthers have a beatable football team on the road this weekend at New England. This is a winnable football game for the Carolina Panthers. Now, New England at 1-2, not a bad team. They lost by one score to the Raiders in week one. Week one results aren't something I put a lot of stock or faith in. They beat the Dolphins, edged them out by six. They lost to the Steelers this weekend, 21-14, in a game where Aaron Rodgers threw for 139 yards and the Steelers won ran for 64. Like, this wasn't a remarkable game from the Steelers, and the Patriots still lost it. In fairness, Drake May, 28 of 37, 268, two touchdowns, one pick, scooted seven times for 45 yards. Like, Drake May's kind of a dog. This is not an easy game. And this is one of those spots where, and I hate to be cliche, I don't want to come across as like a fanalist here, but sometimes you need a game or games like Carolina had in week one and week two where you get punched in the face with the recognition and the realization that, like, we've got to be good in our own spot. Because, and again, I brought up that New England-Pittsburgh game. New England had what? I think they had three fumbles in that game. A pick and three fumbles. They turned the ball over like four times in that game. And they still could have, should have, would have defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you have to, if you are Carolina, play this exact same game on the road against New England. Defense has got to fly around. Got to be angry. Got to be aggressive. Got to create turnovers. New England's not going to lose many games if they aren't turning the ball over. They lost that game to Pittsburgh because they turned the ball over. If you can create just one or two, you got a chance. But again, consistency. Can you take what you did this week and make it the norm, not the exception? I think you lost to a good Jags team in week one. You lost to a Cardinals team that lost on a walk-off yesterday. They're a walk-off field goal away from being 3-0. But in those games, I think you learned a little bit. And then you took that, and you out of a sense of exasperation and frustration, took it out on Atlanta. I'm going to tell you right now, New England's a good team. They're a better team than a lot of people gave them credit for. They were one of my teams to watch this year. But that's a beatable football team. So there is only one. I don't have a lot to break down from this week for Carolina. I think a lot went right. All we'd be talking about is superlatives. Good, great. It feels nice. Been a minute. But unless you can do that on the road against New England this weekend, so we'll see. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. When we come back, other news and notes from around the NFL that may have a big impact on the league. That's next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Take a look around the rest of the National Football League here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. I will start with this one for the great one, Lonzo. You worried about Travis Kelce right now?
No.
Not worried about two games, two chest bumps with Andy Reid? You're not worried about him?
They did this last year, too. They just do that. That's just the thing. That's what those two guys did. I mean, do you have a buddy that you butt heads with, or you get up in each other's face and stuff like that? I think most people have that guy. And it's no big deal.
No, but I'm a big softy. I'm a pushover. So probably not because of me.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, they did that last year, and people made a big deal about it, and they both laughed it off. So, I mean, it's heat of the moment type thing. I don't think there's any animosity between the two. It's two people wanting to win trying to get back to their winning ways, which they were able to do last night.
I think that is fair, and I think I very much agree with you. In a game like this, with the understanding that while none of the rest of them are Travis Kelce, you definitely have got a group of guys that fill the niche in the offense that Travis Kelce fills when he's on the football field. Is four catches 26 yards in a game that, yes, you won 22-9, but you were up by 3 at the half. You were up by 10 at the end of the third. Like, this wasn't a blowout. This wasn't I'm not going to say it wasn't a dominance performance, because while the score was close, it never really felt like New York's a big play away from climbing into this thing. Does 4 for 26 yards in a game where separation is tough, does it feel like a fall off for Travis Kelce, or do you think people are making too much of it?
I think people have been making too big of a deal since he started dating Taylor Swift. I think the focus is more on him. If he has a bad game, oh, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the Chiefs. You know, they do have other receivers. And during the few times that they've won the Super Bowl, guess what? Other people caught the ball other than Travis Kelce. It wasn't just him and Patrick Mahomes out there. The spotlight is on him unfairly when it comes to game. If he makes a miss, it's like front page news everywhere. I mean, if he misses a catch. Now a week ago when that fumble happened in the end zone, I think you got to focus on that, because that was a big time botch. But other than that, he's going to drop some balls. So did other receivers. Did they make a big deal out of that? No. And Mahomes will find the hot hand, which is what he did last night when he found Thornton. And Thornton was his guy last night. If one guy is making all the catches and getting open, that's who he's going to throw the ball to.
Tyquan Thornton, 5 catches, 71 yards, and a pretty spectacular touchdown, to be honest, after one got taken off the board right before that. I had Kansas City picked in this game.
I'm more concerned about their defense.
That's fair, too.
Because you can run on Kansas City.
Yeah, New York rushed for 130 yards.
Scataboo. Scataboo, I love that dude.
Cam Scataboo is an Adam Sandler movie character come to life.
And you can see,
I love him. I adore him.
I forget the name of the guy who was the starter, who was ahead of him, that got hurt.
Tracy.
Who got tore up.
Yeah.
I mean, he got hit pretty hard. It wasn't an illegal hit. It just, he got sandwiched. And you could see him, they're showing him on the sideline. You know, he's thinking, there went my starting job. because Scataboo is such a classic running back. Back to the
old school guys.
Yeah, the John Riggins, Allstott, you know, just the really big bruiser guys who wants to hit you before you hit them. And then he did a backflip and a surfboard, which was pretty cool.
Scataboo is that dude that, like, as a linebacker, you run up, you give him everything, he hits you as hard as you hit him, and he comes up going, I love this dude.
He's also the guy that you see in college that you hope can do it in the NFL, and a lot of times it doesn't happen. They get to the NFL and they just kind of disappear, and he seems like he might actually have a decent career if he stays healthy.
I was going to say, that's going to be the thing, is a dude that runs two, and then through contact like that, like, you don't get a lot of Craig Ironhead Haywards like Cam Scataboo. Like, that's who that guy reminds me of. I used to love Ironhead Hayward growing up as a kid, played for the Saints, and that's kind of who he was. Like, you gave him the football, and that dude didn't look for the lane. He looked for the dude that was closest to the lane, and he's running through a friggin' chest. That's Cam Scataboo. I love that. I don't disagree. You know, you had 29 out of Tracy. He got banged up. Russell Wilson had 5 carries, 27 yards. You can run on the Chiefs, which is only problematic for a handful of teams, but obviously Philadelphia is one of those teams. Speaking of Philadelphia.
Before you get there, I did enjoy the Russell Wilson interceptions.
I did enjoy that,
yeah.
Dude.
And the chance, they didn't acknowledge the chance, but you could hear them clearly. The fans wanting Jackson Dart.
I was texting last night with a friend of mine. This one, not Chris Lewis. Big fan of the G-Men, our official Giants ambassador here in the upstate. I was texting with a friend of mine from down in Florida who was a Giants fan last night. And he said, why are we not starting Jackson Dart? Or not even starting. Why are we not going to Jackson Dart? Like, the wheels are off the Rust bus. Why are we not starting Jackson Dart or playing Jackson Dart? And I said, I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to throw him out in front of this defense right now. I do not want to put him out there against this defense right now with a game on the line.
Well, put Jameis in there.
I would have absolutely made the switch to Jameis. And I would have gone to Jackson and go, look, kid, you are our number two. And I know we're going with our number three as our number two here. Trust me, we have your best interest at heart. You are going to get your time. I don't want to throw you out in front of this defense, in front of this crowd. Because if you go out there and anything goes wrong in your first NFL regular season play time, it's going to be a problem. We would rather give you a clean start out of the gate and not throw you in garbage time late against the Chiefs in a game that the offense is sputtering. Malik Nabers is out there getting busted up and shaky. Here's the only issue. I don't know when you start him because you've got the Chargers this weekend, and it is at home, but the Chargers are an undefeated good football team. I'll tell you when I think Jackson Dart goes Jackson Start, Lonzo. I think it's in 2 weeks, October 5th, when they're at my team, the New Orleans Saints.
Probably.
I think that's when you start
One last thing on Kansas City. I remember many years ago being at Panther camp, sitting on the hill. I've talked about this before, watching Harrison Butker miss every single field goal.
It was rough last night.
And then he went to Kansas City, and something happened, and he was really good. I think he's about done.
I think he regressed last night. I agree.
It's a couple weeks in a row that he's missed stuff that he shouldn't be missing. And yeah, it wouldn't shock me if he's not gone in the next couple weeks.
I don't disagree. Rob Brown had yesterday one of the best NFL gambling days that he's had in a very long time. I was between my props and my covers and my spreads, I think I was like 8-2 yesterday. Did you see the end of that Rams-Eagles game? I had the Rams plus four and a half. They are down one. Drive, kick a field goal. Doesn't matter. Long as the game ends on this field goal, make or miss, long as the game ends on this field goal, I win this bet. They can win it. They can lose it. They're down by one. I win this bet. The Eagles block the field goal and then have the audacity to run it 70. A fat guy fat runs guy. It back 70.
Fat guy touchdown. He's not really that fat.
He's a D lineman, really large, is a fat guy touchdown. Yeah. A fat guy touchdown to win it by six. It is the worst. Let me tell you how bad it was. Immediately texted my buddy and was like, my gambling buddy. I got one guy that, like, we just back and forth gambling talk all the time. I texted him and said, don't text me for 2 weeks about gambling. I am taking a ride. I went 8-2 in the NFL yesterday. And I'm taking a week off from gambling because of how bad that one kicked me in the nads. Unbelievable. All right, take a break. We got some more NFL talk. But when we come back, John Blatt with a post and courier stops by. We'll ask him, the hell went wrong for Los Tigres against Syracuse this weekend? That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. It is, well, actually Monday, where we react to other folks' overreactions. But I said earlier in the show, I do not think after a loss to Syracuse this weekend that Clemson fans are overreacting. I think they are reacting. This was supposed to be the get-right game. This was supposed to be the game after the loss to Georgia Tech where you took advantage of a team that's just not as good as you. And in my ever-so-humble opinion, there wasn't a point in this game where Clemson even looked like they were the better team, poised and ready for a comeback. Let's find out if John Blau agrees with me. John Blau with the Post and Courier, kind enough to join us every Monday at 8:40 to talk a little Clemson football. John, I'll open with the easy one. I'll give the microphone to you. Man, what happened?
Clemson played another bad football game. Syracuse was able to run 18 straight offensive plays before you even touched the ball because of an onside kick. You get an immediate 10-0 hole. The defense just was not prepared. Obviously, you knew this was a Syracuse offense. Steve Mangielli, one of the leading passers in NCAA through three games, and a lot of defensive backs caught flat-footed. You're giving up huge rushing gains to a Syracuse offense that isn't that good at running the ball. You get behind a lot. You obviously, the defense kind of bears down a little bit in the second half, and the offense goes completely cold, as we've seen a whole lot this season in the third quarter. You have, I think, two turnovers on downs, a fumble, a punt, a couple punts. And so, yeah, just another, bad effort, zero complimentary football, just did not seem prepared. And, we were talking before the season, I think I said like 9-3 was probably the floor, and then 8-4, something really bad happened, and I think we're heading towards the really bad, and so it just kind of is what it is.
So what is causing that? Like, I've heard Dabo use the words complimentary football a lot of times. I've always kind of taken it as, hey, we got to have a good offensive showing, a good defensive showing, a good special team showing. I don't think the word complimentary football works in this case, John, because like none of it was working, right? Like, it didn't feel like there was a spark to this team at all. It is the first time, at least since I've been here in the last 5 years broadcasting, that the heart of a team from Clemson has been questioned. The work ethic, the grit, the moxie, whatever your favorite football cliche is to use here. Is that just because a team full of guys who's not used to losing is losing? Is there something happening away from the television cameras causing this? Like, do we know why it is that this team just kind of looks deflated right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it can't get inside their head, obviously, but they do, like you said, they look deflated. And obviously, you lose that game to LSU, you drive the field, you almost tie it up late. That's a little bit of a bummer. And you play just really poorly against Troy. And then obviously Georgia Tech, you lose on the road, another close game. You do have to wonder, is it just a lack of confidence or just starting to feel the pressure if they're kind of pressing I don't know, but at the same time, you know, watching, you know, the, again, Syracuse runs for like 32 yards in their first run, and then the next very next play, Peter Woods, DeMonte Capehart, two guys who you thought were game wreckers on the inside getting blown back on a 6-yard gain. I mean, just doing things that you don't, you know, coming into this year, just having seen these guys do things in the past, you just don't expect to see that. But obviously, you know, Kate Klubnik, you got to point to some of those guys who are the stars of the team that you expect big things from. It has not gotten better. I mean, it just does not seem to have progressed from last year, which I think is what everybody was kind of counting on with a lot of those mock drafts and playing him up as a Heisman contender. Obviously, there were some inconsistencies last year. You thought another year, more mature, this offense would be even more cohesive. That's just not happened. And then, you know, defensively, I don't know if it's Tom Allen, again, new scheme. You're still figuring things out. If some guys just aren't quite on the same page, or if they played too many snaps or what it is, but not playing well, at least not in that first half at all. And so, yeah, just a whole mix of things. It's hard to know kind of what's going on the inside of each of these guys, if they're just deflated or lack confidence, or if they're not being put in the right positions. There's a lot of factors, but all I know is it doesn't look very good. And, you know, again, like you said, Clemson fans are very justified and being upset and disappointed because this isn't the team everybody thought they were going to be.
I have seen John Blau. Obviously, there was a lot of pushback last week from Dabo Swinney, and he kind of had that press conference where it was to me almost a bit of a lecture. I didn't think it was unfair in many aspects, but the Dabo we saw after this game on Saturday had a different vibe about him. I saw the video of him with the team on the field during the alma mater, and he looked, I don't want to use the word defeated, but he certainly did not look like the Dabo we are used to. I heard the post-game press conference where he said, look, I'm not a cyborg. I'm hurt. I know everybody's hurt. We're all going through this together, etc. Like, it felt like a very different Dabo Swinney than we got last week. It has been a while since Dabo Swinney's been in a position like the one that he is in now. So, whether it is at the press conference this week or, you know, next week back or next time they're back on the football field, whatever the case may be, what do you see the response from the head coach being? Could it be as drastic as we start seeing personnel changes on the coaching staff? Is it going to be a different approach to coaching the team? What do you think we see next out of the HC?
Yeah, I don't know if we see personnel changes, you know, this early in the season. I don't think you take it off the table, obviously, for when we get towards the end of the year. Some things change just because obviously their process just isn't working right now. But I mean, I expect, you know, after, like you said, he was very, I would say emotionally spent was the word. He just looked very drained, very somber. You know, obviously not what he expected to happen. And obviously, like you said, defeated. I don't know if he is defeated, but he was feeling that. But I think once we get to today, tomorrow, knowing Dabo Swinney, I mean, it's going to be, and he kind of hinted at this, you know, it's an 8-game schedule. We just got to do the best we can with this 8-game season, respond, all that, yada, yada. I think it's going to be back to kind of the same, you know, windshield mentality he always talks about. You look ahead, you don't look back. They can't obviously undo the fact that they're 1-3 at this point. They obviously got some games that are very winnable. I mean, if you look at North Carolina, Boston College, I know we thought Syracuse was winnable and didn't do it, but I mean, these are a couple teams that you should really be able to beat. I get some confidence and momentum going. So, yeah, I don't think you're going to see anything all that drastic. Maybe we see some different players, you know, maybe some guys who, you know, like a Tristan Smith at the end of that game against Syracuse had a 23-yard reception, you know, the SEMO transfer showed a lot of heart, you know, really fighting to get extra yards. Maybe he gets some more opportunity. Maybe you try to get some guys into the game to give them opportunity. I don't think Kate Klubnik is getting benched at this point. I know a lot of fans have been seeing a lot of tweets about that. I don't think that's happening, but I think you'll see some, you know, some changes there. But as far as like overall personnel program changes, I think that's stuff that's got to wait till the offseason.
John Blau from the Post and Courier joins us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. One of the things that Dabo said that kind of jumped off the page at me, John, was at one point he said, we have to readjust our goals. We have to reevaluate where we are. We have to kind of take a fresh perspective on what the perspective is on this season. You've got a stretch coming up. North Carolina looks like a disaster. You're on the road. Boston College is Boston College. You're on the road. And SMU is kind of reeling a little bit now. They're coming to your house. So these next three games, kind of feel, I don't want to use the term program defining, because obviously that's much more than just 1 year of football, but they certainly feel 2025 defining to me, John Blau.
Yeah, I mean, if you lose any of these games, the temperature continues to increase and the volume of some of the negativity increases. But obviously, yeah, if you win these games, like it is perfectly possible to do, because even if you're not a good Clemson team, if you're not playing well, you still should be able to have some success against some of these teams that are really not very good in the ACC. So, and like I said, you build some confidence, some momentum. Maybe you start to see some of that potential you thought was there, because again, these are players that were being mocked as first rounders. It's not like that they weren't doing anything on tape to get that notoriety. I mean, there is some talent on this team. They just gotta, you know, execute, which they haven't been doing. So yeah, I mean, definitely an opportunity here to get some wins, build some confidence. You're not going to the playoff. You're not going to win the ACC this year. Obviously, you're just hoping to get to a bowl game at this point in time, but maybe you can go on a little bit of a run. You know, 8-9 win season is still possible. I don't know if that happens. Still possible, though. You at least salvage this so it's not a disaster. That's a huge, you know, boost instead of, again, a 7-win season, 5-7, or whatever. That would be a real downer. But if you can go on a run here and win some games, you still got Louisville and Florida State towards the end of the year. You can maybe salvage some things and change the narrative a little bit.
Last one, John Blau. We talked about it on the road at North Carolina, but that game's October 4th. You have a weekend off. How big is this bye week at this point for Clemson? And based on years gone by, although none of them recently have been like this one, what do you expect the message is and the preparation is during the bye week this week for Clemson?
Yeah, I like to say the bye week is huge, but at the same time, you know, they haven't always played well coming out of bye weeks, and obviously haven't played well in openers. And, you know, again, that's coming back to the process and stuff they're going to have to figure out, you know, once the year's over. But if they can make the most of this bye week, like we said, mentally reset, maybe figure out some different personnel, ways to put, you know, players in better position. It's a pivotal, you know, stretch of time. It's not just a nap they're going to be taking here. They've really got to get ready for, again, this kind of new 8-game season that they're playing. And so, yeah, it's pivotal. I'm sure, again, like I said, the message is going to be we're looking forward, windshield mentality. We're not looking back. Whether they can actually, if Dabo Swinney can win the hearts and minds of these guys and get them thinking that way, that's going to be a question, because this is also a week where people start doubting, basically essentially quitting, just deciding I'm going to mail it in the rest of the year. So it's a very big week for Dabo to kind of try to get these guys turned around and get them focused on what they need to be focused on, which is winning as many games as they can these last 8.
More than fair enough. John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier. Kind enough to join us every Monday at 8:40 a.m. for a little Tiger talk. John, my man, I appreciate it. Enjoy the bye week. I think all the Clemson folks need it, but we'll get back to it next week, big dog.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau of the Post and Courier. Follow him on X at John, J-O-N, Blau, B-L-A-U. Follow Lonzo for the next 60 seconds as he tells you all the big smart sports things you need to know before you get to work in the Sports Flash.
Follow me like the Pied Piper of sports. The Carolina Panthers' first win of the year was one of the more impressive in the NFL. 30-0 shutout of the Atlanta Falcons. Bryce Young finished the day 16-24 for 121 yards with a rushing touchdown, while the Panthers ran for 110 yards and 2 scores. Carolina's defense picked off Atlanta's quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., twice and recovered a fumble as well. The Kansas City Chiefs picked up their first win of the season with a 22-9 victory over the New York Jets last night. Patrick Mahomes threw for 224 yards and a touchdown, and Kareem Hunt added a rushing touchdown. The Kansas City defense picked off Russell Wilson twice and held him to just 160 yards passing. Ryan Blaney led 116 of 301 laps and held off a late charge from Josh Berry to win the Mobile 1 301 at New Hampshire to kick off round 2 of the NASCAR Cup Series playoff. William Byron, Joey Logano, and Chase Elliott rounded out the top 5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.